Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into another edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. It's Wednesday, March 15th. Thanks to everybody for being with us. Appreciate that. Coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. I'll tell you about all that in a minute. Remind me to get to a couple of ads. Got a couple of things that I need to get to today as well as we pay some bills here in the studio. Oxford Exxon Podcast, Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. They've been sponsoring this show for 10 years now. Please, when you come into Oxford, when you're on your way out of Oxford, if you live in Oxford, stop by the Oxford Exxon Podcast. You can fill up on the outside. You can fill up on the inside, too. It's always clean. Great choices. Fill up with ribs. If you get this weekend, you're watching the NCAA tournament, get just some of their ribs and just let them take care of it for you. As you're watching some college baseball, NCAA tournament, and more, it's the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. I'm coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote, and the rest is completely up to you. You can shop that quote around, or you can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do. And that's hop into a Clark Ford today. I can tell you a whole lot about the service at Clark Ford after the last week that I've had. The people at Clark Ford, when they tell you they want to be your truck guy and they want to be your car guy, they mean it. They really take great care of you. They've saved me over the last week, in a week where I had a ton of travel that was planned. Some of it was business. Some of it was personal. But I had a lot of stuff plan where I needed a reliable mode of transportation. I had an issue with my F-150. Those guys went above and beyond to take care of me and make sure that I got to all the places that I was going on time and safely as well. And they'll do that for you too. 662-257-1900. Guests won't join today, but when guests do join, they'll join on the MyPerfectFranchise.net hotline. If you're a displaced corporate executive or you're wanting to put your career in your own hands, you're an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify, Andy Ludeke can help. He's a guy who owns multiple franchises and businesses. He uses his expertise to help others find their American dream through a very thorough and free consultation process. Call Andy, put your life, your career in your own hands. It's 100% free, so you've got nothing to lose. Call, find your perfect franchise at myperfectfranchise.net. You can contact Andy anytime at andy@myperfectfranchise.net or 404-973-9901. So Ole Miss has hired Chris Beard. It's done. I think it's been done for a while, but it's officially done now. He was introduced yesterday. As we taped this on Wednesday, he was introduced last night to the public at 5 o'clock and then had a pretty lengthy press conference Q&A at shortly thereafter in the Pavilion media room. Look, I've followed Chris Beard for a long time. I've watched his teams. I've always liked his teams. I didn't say this during the search because I didn't want to come across as, I don't know, cheering for a particular candidate. But I love his team's brands of basketball. Not about the personal stuff for a minute. We'll get to that in a minute because he addressed it. It came up. You knew it would. And he talked about it at length yesterday. But let's talk about Chris Beard, the basketball coach. He popped up on my radar and a lot of people's radar back in the mid-2010s against at Little Rock. I joke about it, but I watched the Sunbelt Conference title game that year, Little Rock and my alma mater, ULM, jokingly cheering for the Warhawks because ULM, it was kind of a Cinderella run. And they ran up against Little Rock, and Little Rock just destroyed them, just pummeled them. And I kind of watched. And I made a mental note that, hey, when that team plays in the tournament, I'm going to watch them. And they played Purdue in the first round, and it was a classic game, one of those NCAA tournament games that you remember. It was a double overtime game. It was a good Purdue team. Good friend of mine, Aaron Emmel, is a Purdue fan, Purdue grad. So sometimes I'll watch Purdue. And so this was one that I just watched anyway because it was Purdue and Little Rock, and I wanted to see that. And Little Rock was completely outmanned from a personnel standpoint. And yet, defensively, they were so gritty, and offensively, they were so clutch that they ended up winning that game in double overtime. And you knew right then, I remember saying, this guy's going places. And sure enough, he was at Texas Tech weeks later, days later, I should say. And at we all know what happened at Texas Tech. He turned that program, one that has had a modicum of success, but nobody talks about Texas Tech as an elite basketball program. Now, they support it, and they love it, and they've built facilities, and they've done a lot of things. And in a lot of ways, it's kind of Ole Miss-ish, if you will. But he took Texas Tech and playing in the Big 12, and we can all do our biases about SEC or Big 10 or whatever. It's simply not debatable that the Big 12 is at times the best basketball league in the country and always one of the two or three best basketball leagues in the country. It's deep. There aren't many programs in the Big 12 that don't care. There aren't many programs in the Big 12 that aren't really trying. It's a very difficult league to dominate. And frankly, no one with the exception of Kansas does. And Texas Tech under Chris Beard became a power in that league. Consistently above 500, bothering people, making the tournament, recruiting at a pretty high level. And that brand of basketball that Chris Beard coaches, it resonated there. And people began to really pay attention to them, to him. His name started popping up for big-time searches. And he took Texas Tech to the Elite Eight. And then a year later, took Texas Tech to the Final Four, won a national semifinal game, and took Virginia to overtime in the national championship game. And you knew then, hey, this guy's a meteoric superstar. At the time, there was one job that was popping up, and I'm going to lose track of years and stuff here because I think it was the year that Ole Miss hired Kermit Davis, but the Arkansas job opened up, and Chris Beard, because of his time at Little Rock, has some strong connections to the University of Arkansas, to some influential people in that system, board of trustees, that type thing. And Hunter Yurecek, the Arkansas athletics director, wanted to hire Chris Beard. The problem was Texas Tech was making a deep tournament run. This was the year that they lost to Virginia in the final. And Chris Beard would not talk to Hunter Yurecek until the season was over. He got the message back through his intermediaries that, hey, I'm interested in the job. I'd love the job. I think I'd kill it there, but I'm coaching in this team and I'm not talking to you until then. And Hunter Yurecek was spooked by that, as a lot of ADs would be. And Hunter Yurecek was also spooked by the idea that, hey, the Texas job's going to come open sooner rather than later. And it's the worst kept secret in the world that Chris Beard, a UT grad, a Texas native, is going to take that job when it comes up. And Hunter Yurecek did not want to be the AD at Arkansas who lost a coach to Texas. That's a rivalry. It's a big rivalry there. It's a meaningful game to Arkansas people when they play in anything. He didn't want to be that guy. And that was the other thing. And ultimately, Arkansas hired Eric Musselman, who's done a really good job there. It's not really the point. So he takes the Texas job. Texas pays him $5, $6 million a year. It's his dream job. It's his destination job. He's going to be there for a long, long time. First year, Texas goes to the round of 32. One thing about Chris Beard, he's never lost a first-round NCAA tournament game. He's 11-5 in NCAA tournament games as a coach. It's a hell of a record. When you think about the fact that the tournament's 68 teams, so there's going to be 67 games. 67 of the 68 teams that are in the NCAA tournament are going to finish with an L. Just the way it works. Only one team's going to walk away on that Monday night with a 6-0 record. So he goes to Texas, round of 32, rebuilding a roster, mostly through the transfer portal in year one. And then going into this season, had a lot of transfer portal guys back, went bigger in the portal but smaller with numbers, adds a couple of guys, more impactful guys but fewer, and he starts landing high school guys. He's building a high school class, and then you guys know the rest. In December, he gets arrested. He gets suspended while UT digs into what happened and all of that. And in January, early January, University of Texas fires him with cause. I've seen all the back and forth from attorneys. Chris Beard did not, obviously, want to get fired. Desperately hoped that Texas would kind of stand by him and let the process play out. And he kind of felt like he would have a chance to go back to his dream job, that this would all blow over, and it didn't in Texas. They fired him. And that's when I kind of started watching, because obviously I cover Ole Miss, and you could tell that this season wasn't going to go any better than last season. I'll be honest, now that it's all done, I was surprised a year ago that Keith Carter and Ole Miss didn't fire Kermit Davis a year ago. I kind of thought they would. I was wrong. I was completely prepared. I had a column. I had a hot board. I had all that stuff ready to go. And hindsight being 2020, Keith made the right call. Not because Ole Miss was better. They weren't. If anything, they were worse. They went from 4-14 in the league to 3-15 in the league. But in the last year, Missouri was hiring a coach. LSU was hiring a coach. South Carolina was hiring a coach. The list goes on. This year, Ole Miss was the only school in the league, at least right now, hiring a coach. And the way that it all fell, it just fell perfectly for them. So people have asked me, when did you start thinking it would be Chris Beard? And for me, it was the day that, well, it was a little before this. I started writing about Chris Beard in January. I talked to people in Austin who were pretty familiar with the case who said, hey, the charges are going to get dropped. They're going to get dropped, no doubt about it. So I was watching really two coaches. I was watching Will Wade, the former LSU coach, and I was watching Chris Beard. And you knew that Will Wade had this NCAA thing hanging over him. And you knew that from a timetable standpoint, the odds of it getting cleared up by the middle of March were slim. And that's proven to be true, though we'll talk about Will Wade maybe in a little bit. With Chris Beard, I was told it's going to get cleared up. The charges are going to get dropped, and they're going to get dropped sometime in February. And at that point, I thought, well, Keith Carter's going to be in a really weird spot here because he's going to have the opportunity to hire Beard. As long as the charges were hanging over him, he wasn't hireable. You can't hire a coach who then gets put on trial for third-degree domestic violence. Just can't do it. That's impossible. Nobody in their right mind would do that. But once the charges were dropped, and they were in the middle of February, I remember writing, he's hireable now. And there was all this pushback, not from you guys, but from a lot of people going, you can't hire him. We had 18,000 shows where we did what you're supposed to do on a podcast and debate it. And there were a few times that Chase and others sort of talked me into, nah, maybe you can't. And I kept coming back to, yeah, you can. You can absolutely hire him. You frankly should hire him. So we've had that conversation, and obviously you look back on it now, and there's no question that Keith Carter and Ole Miss, when the charges were dropped, when he became hireable, there's no NCAA baggage whatsoever with Chris Beard, none whatsoever, none. Unlike Will Wade, where you've got NCAA stuff and there's a chance of a show cause and all of that, there's none of that with Chris Beard. Once he became hireable, Ole Miss began digging deep. And that's what I heard all along, was that they were digging really deep on Chris Beard. And the more that they dug, I think the more that it went from doing due diligence to, hey, we have to hire this guy. I'll pick up there in just a minute. First, I want to tell you a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. It can be tough to train your brain in problem-solving mode when faced with a challenge in life. But when you learn how to find your own solutions, there's no better feeling. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or small. I've used therapy as a way to handle stress, clear negative thoughts, mentally relax a little. It was a life changer for me. It increased my happiness. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, it's entirely online. Get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey. Switch therapist anytime. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/MPW today. Get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/MPW. Our next partner is Athletic Greens. I take AG1 by Athletic Greens literally every day. I gave AG1 a try because I wanted better gut health, sustained energy, immune system support, and I hate taking pills. I take AG1 every afternoon. It breaks my fast. I love knowing I'm doing something good for my body, giving my body the nutrition it craves, and covering my nutritional bases. Covering my nutritional bases for the day literally couldn't be easier, which is why I trust Athletic Greens. I just mix one small scoop of AG1 with water and drink it first thing each afternoon. Done. Also like that it costs less than $3 a day. Pretty good, if you ask me. It's a really effective daily habit with the highest quality sourced ingredient. It's a win-win. If a comprehensive solution is what you need for your supplemental routine, then Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. So go to athleticgreens.com/MPW. That's athleticgreens.com/MPW. Check it out. So as things got rolling on Chris Beard, there were only two names, in my opinion, that ever really had traction on the Ole Miss job. As it became obvious that Ole Miss was going to have to make a change at the end of the season, that was the worst kept secret in the world. I talked to so many people in college basketball who knew it. They knew it quickly. When Ole Miss lost to North Alabama on December the 20th, the writing was on the wall. When they got off to the 1-6, 1-7 start in SEC play, it was over. And it started getting talked about. And the two names were Dusty May at FAU, who is in the NCAA tournament this week as a 9 seed. I think they play Memphis. I'm the only person in America, I think, that hasn't done a bracket yet. I haven't had a chance. I've been traveling. Today's my first day at home in a week. Anyway, I'll do a bracket at some point. But FAU won the Conference USA regular season. They won the conference tournament. They beat Andy Kennedy and UAB in the conference championship game on Saturday night, I think, in Frisco, Texas. So he was a candidate. And then Chris Beard. I don't think Ole Miss ever even did its homework on Will Wade. I don't think that was something they ever really considered, even though people like me wrote that they should. They didn't. They absolutely started digging really deep on Chris Beard. And the more that they dug, the more that it went from due diligence to, we probably have to really get serious about this. Why? Well, when they talked to people in Texas, there were people who told them, hey, that night I know the police report reads one way. I'm not sure that the truth is that. And again, at the end of the day, there are only two people in the world who precisely know what absolutely happened that night in Austin. And that's Chris Beard and that's Randy True. That's it. Nobody else knows. They know, but nobody else truly knows. A 911 call got made. Law enforcement came to the house. And when that happens, in that situation, someone is leaving the house that night. That's just the way it works. And there were photos and things were taken, all that stuff. But as Ole Miss dug into it, and they had a search firm, and they had other people help dig into it, to my understanding, they were told, hey, it wasn't exactly the way that that police report reads. She retracted her story very quickly, certainly certain elements of it. She was not going to testify against him. She was the district attorney, it's my understanding, knew pretty quickly that this was not a case that was going to lead to a conviction. So as Ole Miss dug into it and they started talking to people about Chris Beard, it became obvious that this was something that they really had to get serious about. And according to Keith Carter yesterday, it was late February, right about the time that Ole Miss and Kermit Davis mutually parted ways when Case finished the rest of the season, they made contact with Chris Beard. And that contact led to a face-to-face meeting in Texas with the chancellor and Keith and Chris Beard. And I think at that point, it went from, hey, should we do this, to, hey, how do we do this? That was certainly the buzz in college basketball circles. If you talk to head coaches out there, assistant coaches, and I know a lot of those people and talk to a lot of those people, and I kept hearing they're going to hire Beard. They're just trying to figure out when to do it, how to do it. And I think Ole Miss was worried, as they should have been, about what would the backlash be if you hired Chris Beard. And interestingly, and I'm jumping around because I'm by myself here and I'm not very good at this. Interestingly, I don't think there's been all that much backlash. Been a few columns, been a few people that said things. We'll get to that in a minute. But I went to Nashville last week because I believed Ole Miss was going to hire Chris Beard. I didn't think they were going to do it in Nashville. Kind of got sucked into, hey, something's going to happen really quick, because there was a buzz. I guess I got there on Tuesday night, got up on Wednesday, got my exercise in, and then went to the arena. So the way that the Wednesday works at the SEC tournament, for those that don't know, the top four seeds don't play until Friday. Seeds 5 through 10 are guaranteed to play on Thursday, and then you have the two games, 11 through 14, 11 against 14, 12 against 13, on Wednesday night. And those games start at 6 o'clock. But that day, earlier that day, starting at about 11, the team 5 through 10, so those six teams, they have an opportunity to shoot around at Bridgestone. And they have, it's not a press conference. It's just more like a media gaggle, like beat writers who cover Auburn, for example. They go out and they watch Auburn practice for a few minutes. Then after Auburn practices, some players are made available. Bruce Pearl speaks to them. And I just wanted to go for a couple reasons. I decided I was going to get there early. There were three or four coaches that I wanted to try to talk to about Chris Beard. And I just kind of wanted to talk to some people and see if what I was hearing was what they were hearing. People that were in the league, people that cover the league, like SEC Network kind of guys and stuff. And I got to the arena around noon on Wednesday. Ole Miss didn't play until 6. So I had plenty of time. When I got there, Tennessee was on the practice court, or on the court practicing, having the shoot around. And I talked to Damian Fishback with the SEC Network, former Auburn player who I covered when he played at Auburn. That's how old I am now. And I asked Fish, I said, hey, what are you hearing? And he said, I think they're doing it. And I said, what do you think? And he said, if you can hire Chris Beard, you hire Chris Beard. Which was the same thing I'd taught to other coaches who said the same thing. hey, if you can hire Chris Beard, you hire Chris Beard. And I knew how good he was, but I wanted to get their thoughts. I was like, how good is he? And you started hearing people say he might be the best coach in the country. He's a top 10 coach. He's a top 5 coach. He's a program builder. He's a team builder. He's a culture builder. He's all of those things. And I said, does he want the job? And I kept hearing Chris Beard wants the job. And if Chris Beard wants the job and you can hire Chris Beard, you're a fool not to hire him. So I'll circle back to some of the feedback that Ole Miss got. I've got this secondhand. Some of this could be wrong. I don't think it's wrong. I think when Keith Carter and Alan Green talked to people at Texas, people in the athletics department, people on the board of trustees, people who were connected to the decision to hire Chris Beard at Texas, people who were connected to the ultimate decision to fire Chris Beard at Texas, I think they were surprised at the unanimity, I think is the word I'm looking for, of the feedback that they got, which was, we really didn't want to fire him. Didn't feel like we had a choice but to fire him. Just because of the climate there, the pushback they would have gotten from certain groups had they stuck by him. There was one UT official, I'm told, who told, I think it's Keith Carter, had they had a little more runway, they would have stuck by him. They would have kept him. Had they had a little more opportunity to kind of come up with a plan, they would have kept him. They really didn't want to move on from him. But ultimately, they felt like they had no choice because of just the climate in Austin. It's what I was told. It's not a political statement. I'm not trying to be political, but that's what I was told. And I'm told that people at Texas told Keith Carter, look, if you have an opportunity to hire Chris Beard, you're a fool if you don't. And I think that resonated. When so many people, including people that are in athletic administration at a place like the University of Texas, tell you that, hey, it was a decision we really, really soul-searched about. It's a decision that we really didn't want to reach. That's not what we ultimately wanted to do. You listen. So back to Nashville, I stalked Rick Barnes for a better part of 45 minutes. Tennessee finished their shoot-around. I waited for, I think he did an appearance on, taped a segment with Paul Feinbaum. And when he got off the stage with Paul, he came down and I waited for him and I said hello and asked him if he had a minute. And he said he only had a second because he had to walk to his bus to catch the bus to get back to the hotel. But Rick was really gracious with his time. I asked him about Chris Beard. He gave me a really good answer. And at that point, I started really thinking, this is happening. Because if it weren't happening, coaches typically don't answer hypothetical questions. So if it were something that a guy like Rick Barnes didn't think was going to happen, I think he could have easily said to me, hey, I'm not going to get into hypotheticals. I understand the question, but I'm going to stay away from that. Instead, he gave me an answer about what Chris Beard would mean for the SEC, how it makes a deep league that much deeper, how it makes a deep league that much tougher, how the SEC, when it adds Texas and Oklahoma in another year, is going to be, in his opinion, the best basketball league in the country, and that Chris Beard just added to that, which is more than fair. So at that point, I walked back to the floor. Auburn was on the floor practicing, getting ready for their Thursday game against Arkansas. And I waited for Bruce Pearl and the Tigers to finish their shoot-around. They had like 35, 40 minutes. And then Bruce did local media, and I stood off to the side. I waited for him, for all those guys to get everything they needed for their coverage of Auburn, because obviously I wasn't going to ask a Chris Beard question in a group setting and put Bruce in a weird spot, or eat up time from guys who cover Auburn who are working on stories about Auburn, about the game against Arkansas, about the tournament, about whatever they were working on from a local perspective. So they finished, and I'm a big Bruce Pearl fan. Everybody knows that. I always enjoy talking to him. I like the guy quite a bit. And Bruce finished with the local guys. I asked him if he had a minute. I told him what I wanted to ask him about. And he was like, yeah, sure. He goes, can we do it while we walk to the bus? And I said, absolutely. And so walked with him all the way to the bus. He gave me just a ton of Chris Beard stuff, really raved about him. And again, at that point, by that point, I felt pretty confident that this was happening. Also, in that time, Kirk Sampson, the media relations director, longtime media relations director at Auburn, is a great friend of mine. We go way back and to when I was a beat writer. And I had talked with him for a minute, and I knew that Wes Flanagan, the former Little Rock coach, he actually took over for Chris Beard at Little Rock after Beard left for Texas Tech. I knew he was on Chris Beard's staff at Little Rock. And I said, hey, Kirk, can I talk to Wes? And he said, let me go see if he'll talk to you. So obviously Kirk went in and talked to Wes and said, hey, it's a guy who covers Ole Miss. He wants to talk to you about Chris Beard. And when Wes not only did it, but immediately came and did it and talked to me in a way that was more present tense and not hypothetical, I thought, this is done. This is happening. And got more serious about, hey, I need to turn this around and write it today, because Ole Miss was playing South Carolina that night. Frankly, I thought Ole Miss would lose. And there was a little rumbling that if Ole Miss lost on Wednesday, Ole Miss might announce something on Thursday. Looking back, I don't think that was accurate. I think that was just rumor. But at the time, I was operating under the premise that maybe that was true. And so I talked to Wes, and then I talked to Bruce. And at that point, felt like I had enough. By the time I got back from talking with Bruce, Arkansas was on the floor. They were having their shoot around because they were playing Auburn the next night in the 7-10 game. And so I waited for Arkansas to finish. I waited for Eric Musselman to talk to the Arkansas beat writers and stuff that were there. There were a handful of those guys. And then I think Musselman did a segment with Feinbaum. I waited for that. I talked to Eric for a few minutes. He declined to talk about Chris Beard, but the way that he did it, I was like, oh, he knows something too. And sure enough, by that point, I didn't think this thing was going anywhere but Chris Beard. I felt strongly about that before Wednesday of last week, but by Wednesday, it was completely done. I'd heard some rumblings about Dusty May agreeing to a long-term deal at FAU. They were really stepping up. I'd heard some rumblings that Dusty May wasn't super confident in what might happen if he got the Ole Miss job, you know, being almost like a fallback candidate, that he was kind of concerned about whether he would be able to generate the NIL excitement that you would need at a place like Ole Miss to be competitive in the Southeastern Conference. So as you start hearing those things and his name loses buzz and there's no other name, I kept getting that question from people. They said, well, what's Ole Miss going to do if it's not Chris Beard, or if Chris Beard says no? And my answer was, I don't know. I mean, if it's somebody other than Chris Beard at this point, I don't know who the hell it is. Which, if you think about that logically, the fans were so excited about the prospect of Chris Beard that at that point, if it's not Chris Beard, if you're Ole Miss and you're not hiring him, you got to kill it. And nobody was killing it. And then some of the national people started to pick it up that day. And you know the rest. So we'll get to that in a minute. First, I want to tell you that we're brought to you by Walk-On Sports Bistro. They put everything they've got into bringing you game day with a taste of Louisiana. Dig into their mouth-watering Louisiana cuisine. Po' boys, gumbo, voodoo shrimp, plus fan favorites like juicy burgers, fresh salads, 70-plus TVs, 40-plus ice-cold beers on tap. So if you're looking for a place to watch the NCAA tournament this weekend, maybe some college baseball, stop by the Walk-Ons in Oxford or Ridgeland. The College Corner is your one-stop Rebel shop. Two locations in Jackson, one in Ridgeland, one in Flowood. You can also go to collegecornerstore.com. You can find them on Facebook or Instagram as well. The largest selection of Rebel gear in Central Mississippi. We're brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating, different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Tupelo, Batesville, the surrounding area, call Comer, 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, or the surrounding area, call Southern 662-429-4429. A-Stock Auctions is a Nashville-based online auction company with the Mission to provide customers the power to name their price. All items at A-Stock start at just $1. That's right. All items at A-Stock start at just $1. A-Stock.bid. You can download their app, name your price on thousands of items from big name retailers. A-Stock Auctions has multiple locations around Nashville that offer local pickups. So don't miss out. If you want it, bid it, win it. We're brought to you by Solutions RX. It's a probiotic multivitamin supplement company created by Ole Miss Pharmacy alum Chris Cornelison. It's pharmaceutical grade, manufactured right here inside the U.S. under the highest standards, based out of Iuka, Mississippi. SolutionsRx.com. Type in the promo code OEP at checkout. Get 10% off your first order. Our friends at Dead Soxie have a free gift for you. The gift is exclusive. Head over to deadsoxie.com/rebels. Join the NIL subscription. By signing up, you'll be the first to hear about exclusive collaborations, new products, and receive freebies on the regular. That means you'll not only have the freshest socks in town, but you'll also be contributing directly to Ole Miss Athletics, helping support your favorite players. As your first gift for signing up, you'll receive a free pair of limited edition Juice Kiffin socks, which are only available to members. To get your gift, all you have to do is add a pair of socks from Dead Soxie's Ole Miss NIL subscription to your cart, and your free pair of Juice Kiffin socks will automatically appear in your cart. No membership fees to become a member. All you have to do is start your subscription by adding one pair of NIL socks to your cart, choosing how often you want new pairs from the Ole Miss collection delivered. So head over to deadsoxie.com/rebels. Sign up for the NIL subscription today to show your support. Game Changer patches are the only two-patch system available in the market to stop hangovers before they start. Warm-up patch used before while you drink. Overtime patch used after you've been drinking to recover while you sleep. The all-natural ingredients will keep you in the game, ready for your next place. Go to GameChangerPatch.com. Promo code REBELGROVE20 at checkout for 20% off your purchase. So Ole Miss introduced, Ole Miss won on Wednesday night, which elicited a little bit of panic from your boy here, because I was taking my son Carson to New Orleans on Friday. We went to a couple of Pelicans games on Saturday and Sunday. Our plan was to get down on Friday.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Anybody that's ever, if you've never worked in media, the one thing that happens in media is at tournaments, guys that cover bad teams just want the misery to end. They just want to get it done. You want your team to get beat and get out so that you can move on. The last thing you want is for your team to make a deep tournament run because you didn't pack for it. And frankly, you probably had other plans, which was the case for me. Ole Miss beat South Carolina on Wednesday night. Played pretty well, held on at the end, made a play late, which was the antithesis of what the team had done all season long, which was kind of blow games late. And that the fact that they won that game meant that they played Tennessee the next afternoon on Thursday, And any chance of announcing it on Thursday disappeared when they won on Wednesday. Again, I don't think that was ever the plan. Looking back on it, I think that was just a bad rumor. But at the time, that's what was going on in my mind. On Thursday, Ole Miss jumped out to a 6-point lead against Tennessee. And for just a split second, I kind of panicked. I thought, I'm not packed for this. I'm going to really disappoint my son. I was thinking, okay, well, if they beat Tennessee, they'll play Missouri. That game won't be over till 5. I was in a little bit of a panic. But Ole Miss lost to Tennessee. I asked Keith Carter after the game. I said, hey, is there a timetable here? Is there anything coming? And he said, there's nothing imminent, but we're not far away. And so at that point, I finished writing. I did a segment on Paul Feinbaum's show. I finished writing. I went back to my hotel, and I got myself settled in a bit and finished a second story that I was writing about Chris Beard that I was going to have ready to be published when Ole Miss hired him. Kind of was on watch a little bit on Friday, just in case. There was a rumor that something was going to happen on Saturday. That didn't ever sound right to me. People kind of ran with it. I never really felt like you'd release it on a Saturday. I guess you could, but kind of felt like it would get really, really lost. Once Friday got to about noon, I thought they're not announcing it because you don't want to do a Friday afternoon news dump on good news. And for Ole Miss, hiring Chris Beard is great news. You know you're going to get some national heat when you do it, but you don't want to do it at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon and make it look like you're embarrassed of it. Make it look like you're hiding something, like you're trying to put it in at the end of the week. Kind of pre-internet days, if you were a PR firm and you had bad news, you dumped it on Friday afternoon. Ole Miss didn't do that. They weren't going to announce it on Sunday, of course, because the women's basketball team was getting a bid to the NCAA tournament later that day. It's Selection Sunday. It's conference championship game in the SEC. If you told me that the SEC was like, hey, just wait till Monday, I'd buy it. I don't think that happened, though. I think Ole Miss was smart enough to go, let's just wait. I got wind on Sunday that there was a Monday announcement that was planned for 10:30 in the morning. Turned out to be exactly right. That's when they released it. They introduced him on Tuesday, Rebel Grizz. I'm reading this. He says, Neil, seems like you and national media played nice with Ole Miss and Beard by not tweeting that Ole Miss had hired him. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there was a day where I would be obsessed with tweeting it first. That day, for me, has long passed. I don't really care about that stuff anymore. I wasn't going to tweet that Ole Miss had hired him until I knew that Ole Miss had hired him. Because sometimes you can get close to the finish line and not cross the finish line. And if you tweet that Ole Miss has hired him and they haven't hired him, meaning it's not done, nothing's been signed, you look foolish. And in journalism, at least for me, and look, journalism still matters to me. As I told someone the other night, it probably shouldn't anymore, but it does. You don't want to be first and wrong. It's the worst thing to be. It's an awful spot to be. I've never been there, thank God. But I know people who have been, and it's a really bad spot. If you write something emphatically, not to pick on John here, but like John Sokolov, the week of the Ole Miss Mississippi State game that Monday, he wrote pretty emphatically that Lane Kiffin was going to Auburn. And look, on that Monday, I thought Lane Kiffin was going to Auburn too. But I didn't have it like that. And you end up looking wrong. So I don't know that we were playing nice. I think I was just being cautious. And then frankly, after I published my story on Wednesday night after the South Carolina game, I went ahead and edited a little bit. I went ahead and ran my Chris Beard story that night because there was no doubt in my mind at that point that Ole Miss was going to hire Chris Beard, and I wanted to get ahead of other people. I knew that I was the only person there that was really working that story that way. I think I was the only Ole Miss beat writer there at all. So I knew that I didn't know what other people were doing. I wanted to get ahead of that and have something that was different than what other people had. And so when I published that, I had some people ask me, so it's done, isn't it? And I was like, well, I don't know that it is done, but it obviously is going to get done, if that makes any sense. And so, yeah, Sokolov, there's no reason for him to go into hiding. He's a young guy. He worded it too strong. He made a mistake. Anyway, Ole Miss introduced Chris Beard on Tuesday, last night. I got back into town at 4:30. I was a little panicked. On Monday, I drove back from New Orleans. We stopped in Madison, Mississippi at a coffee shop, and I published a story that I had ready. It's like a little after 10:30. Got back in the car, got back to Oxford, dropped Carson off, repacked a bag, and I drove to Hot Springs, Arkansas. My daughter, Campbell, had a passport issue that was not her fault. If you ever have a passport issue, make sure you make an appointment in person to get it fixed. Appointments are hard to come by. It is a laborious process, but it culminated yesterday in Hot Springs at the passport office. So she got her passport worked out yesterday for her trip coming up. And so we got that done. I left Hot Springs about 12:45 and got back to Oxford about 4:30-something. Went straight to the pavilion. Chris Beard was introduced a little after 5 o'clock. He talked to the fans first. I thought he hit every button you're supposed to hit as a coach, talking to fans as a new coach. He makes no bones about it. He says they're going to win sooner rather than later, and didn't dodge from what his goals are. His goals are make it to the Final Four and play on Monday night, which means playing in the national championship game, something he's done once before. Took Texas Tech to the national title game. If you're a fan, you have to be thrilled with that. That's what you want to hear. You want a coach who talks about winning big, not about making the tournament, but about winning in the tournament, about making deep runs in the tournament, about being a team that's consistently in the tournament, about being a team that is seeded high enough to be able to, as he called it, be in the front door of the tournament, which is something. I mean, I'm not an Ole Miss historian. I think Rob Evans did it once. I think they were a 4 seed once at Ole Miss back in the Ansu Cisse, Keith Carter, Michael White days. Don't hold me to that. That sounds right, that they were a 4 seed. And you can make a run as a 4 seed. You can make a run as a 3 seed, a 4, a 5. It's, you become an 11, a 12. It happens. There's Cinderella all the time, but it's tough to make a run as an 11 seed, as a 12 seed, and get to the second weekend or get to the third weekend. It's almost impossible. Anyway, hit a home run with the fans, and then he talked to media. We had a press conference. He was asked detailed questions about that night in Austin. I was impressed with whoever kind of had the media strategy for yesterday, because Ole Miss was prepared. They had an answer. They stuck to it. He didn't dodge, but he didn't go into details where he didn't want to go into details. He got other questions. I asked him a question about if he ever lost optimism during those 3 months. He gave me a really good answer. He got emotional a few times, particularly when he talked about his family, two of his daughters. Beard has 3 daughters. 2 of his daughters were with him yesterday. And I thought he did as well as you could do in that setting. The same for Keith Carter. Keith knew, I'm presuming that Keith knew that they were going to get those questions. Those are fair questions. I know there were some people on the message board that were pushing back about those questions. Those questions are going to get asked. They are. And by taking it head on and addressing it, it allows you to start to put it in the rearview mirror. It's not going to be completely in the rearview mirror. These are things that are going to continue to be asked about. There's going to be elements of the media that are going to focus on it. Next basketball season, when it rolls around, he's going to get asked about this again. If Ole Miss is successful, and frankly, I'll be shocked if they're not, if Ole Miss is successful and they say they make an NCAA tournament and they're at an NCAA tournament in Des Moines or Birmingham or wherever the case may be, on that media day, he's going to get asked about that stuff again. He's going to get asked about it until it just starts to fade away. That's the bottom line. But what I saw yesterday was a really motivated guy. I've spent the last several weeks talking to people who know Chris Beard. And to a man, especially the people who know him well, and this is one thing I was really curious about, they were concerned, maybe the right word, curious, could he move on from what he lost? Chris Beard loved Texas. The Texas job was his dream job. They were building the new arena. I think it's Moody Arena or something like that, that it's there in Austin. He had a ton of support. He was getting that job rolling. If you watch the Longhorns play, they're a 2 seed, I think, in the NCAA tournament. They just won the Big 12 conference title. They're a legitimate threat to go to the Final Four, to win the whole thing. Probably one of a hand, 8 to 10 teams that have a legitimate shot to win the national title. He built that team. He knew what he had going at Texas. He has had 2 5-stars signed, ready to go for next year's team. He had it rolling in Austin. That was his dream job. Winning big at Texas was his personal dream. And it was gone. He'll never be the coach of Texas again. I'm not a never person, but he'll never be the coach of Texas again. And so people wondered, how hard will it be for him to let that go, to move on? And I was curious. And yesterday, what I saw, what I heard, was a really hungry guy. A guy who's eager to prove that he was worth another chance. A guy who is very grateful to Ole Miss for giving him that chance to compete in the SEC, the league that Texas was going to join, that is going to join. I saw and heard a guy who was going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I think if you're an Ole Miss fan, you have to be thrilled with that. Yeah, there were some national commentary that was very negative, that was very, very biting. But you had to, I've been writing that you were going to get that. You knew that was coming. There was no question about it. You could almost predict who it would be. Stuart Mandel was on the short list of people that you could predict. Dana O'Neill, yep, another one, check. And look, they're entitled to their opinions. You know you're going to get that criticism. You know it's going to happen. You just absorb it. You don't fight back. You just let it. You take it, and you move on. You've made the once you make the decision to hire Chris Beard, you say, okay, we're in. We're gonna get heat. We're gonna get some negative headlines. It's gonna come. You got a lot of positive headlines too. There's a lot of positive stories yesterday. Everybody focuses on the negatives. Got a lot of positives. A lot of people talking about what a great hire it was. How it elevates your program instantly. That's positive. Yeah, you knew the negative was coming. Of course you knew it was coming. Keith Carter knew it was coming. Ole Miss knew it was coming. They were clearly prepared for it. They took their time. I think instead of rushing into some sort of an announcement, they waited till everybody was truly on the same page. They did it on a Tuesday. There were NCAA tournament games last night. Pitt beat Mississippi State in a great game in Dayton. There at the end, State had a shot to win it. The point is that the national attention now will shift to the NCAA tournament. Frankly, I was in my car on Monday drove from New Orleans to Oxford, Oxford to Hot Springs. And I did something that I normally never do. I listened to a lot of ESPN radio. I flipped around. I listened to Dan Patrick. I was listening to national radio waiting for backlash I want to see, what would the backlash be once Ole Miss announced at 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern that Ole Miss was hiring Chris Beard, that it was done? What would the pushback be? And the truth is, on Monday, it was hardly a topic of discussion. Paul Feinbaum dove into it, but Paul was very positive about it. But the national people really didn't talk about it. Frankly, I didn't think about it at the time. I didn't even think, hey, that's the Monday that basically NFL free agency starts. I knew everybody would have their brackets. Everybody would be talking about brackets. Who's picking who you got in the Final Four. I knew that would be a big topic of conversation. But I didn't realize that the whole NFL free agency thing, I should have. I keep up with the NFL. I just didn't think about it. That was the day the NFL free agency would get started. And in the NFL, they call it the legal tampering period, but it's basically the first day of free agency. Deals that have been done get announced that day. And that was the case. And then the national media on Monday, as it is today, as of this moment, maybe something's changed, they were completely obsessed with Aaron Rodgers. Where's Aaron Rodgers going to go? Is he going to the Jets? Is he going to retire? Is there a chance that he ends up in Washington? They were obsessed with Lamar Jackson and his situation. Is he going to be in Baltimore? Is he going to get a long-term deal? Is he going to get traded? The NFL carries sports radio, and they were obsessed with it. And it wasn't really a topic of conversation. And then yesterday, coming back from Hot Springs, I listened again. Hey, is Chris Beard going to come up? And it really didn't. They were still obsessed on national radio with Aaron Rodgers, with some of his demands. I was listening to a Chicago-based show, and they Aaron Rodgers holding the NFL hostage day 65 and his hostage demands with Lazar and Odell Beckham Jr. and some of those guys. That was the big topic. So the truth is, as we sit here on Wednesday morning at almost 10 o'clock, Ole Miss hiring Chris Beard, it's quickly getting into the rearview mirror. The beating, if you will, that you've taken, it's kind of over. It wasn't that bad, which is kind of what I thought all along. I thought you'd get beat up a little bit, and then it would move on. And that's the case. And so the shift locally will be on who he brings in as staff. Brian Berg, the former Georgia Southern coach, was in Oxford yesterday, so one can only think that he's been hired. Al Pinkins, the former Ole Miss assistant, he was at Texas Tech most recently. He's been offered the job, according to sources, as an assistant. I think Al's going to take it. I was told Al was in Oxford yesterday. I did not see him. Cinco Boone, the former UT Arlington assistant, I was told was in Oxford yesterday. I did not see him. But I asked Chris Beard about staff. He said that a lot of that would be done within the next week or so. So I think you'll hear that. The focus is going to shift to recruiting. He's recruiting the current roster. I was told he was at the office on Monday night until around 2 o'clock in the morning, working recruiting. The transfer portal, very active, and will become more and more active as teams lose. There's 66 teams alive today. By Sunday night, there will be 16. Do the math. 50 teams are going to lose. Guys are going to get into the portal. So the portal is going to be super active. You're going to see a completely rebuilt roster. The shift will move to that. And then nationally, the shift is going to turn to the tournament tomorrow morning. When 64 teams, when you have 32 games in 2 days, people are going to talk about those games. Some kid's going to hit a big shot to pull off an upset. There's going to be a big story. And the national media will shift to that. And this won't pop up again for a while. And when it pops up the next time, it won't be nearly as hot. So I thought it was a home run hire for Ole Miss. I thought they were super prepared for it. I was impressed with how prepared they were for it. They had a PR plan. They stuck to it. They didn't. The way that they timed it was perfect. And Ole Miss basketball, which this isn't a knock on Kermit at all. I like Kermit Davis. I liked him a lot. He was nothing but fair and professional to me. But the last couple of years, they haven't been very good. They haven't been relevant at all. The year before that was a COVID year where really nothing was relevant. The year before that, they were 6-12 in the league. They weren't relevant. They played on Wednesday night. If you're playing on Wednesday night consistently, you're not relevant. The year before that, they did go to the NCAA tournament. The year before that was Andy Kennedy's last year, which was a disaster. So it's been 6 years where Ole Miss has really only been relevant 1 year. And suddenly, with the hiring of Chris Beard, Ole Miss basketball is super relevant. I've heard from people that I normally never hear from about Ole Miss basketball. And people are going to talk about you. You're going to be a story. Frankly, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think the pavilion's going to be pretty full. I'll be surprised if you don't schedule a little better than past coaches chose to or were able to. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun for Ole Miss guys, for Ole Miss people to follow a basketball coach and a program that has super high aspirations and is going to go for it. And I think the roster is going to look a lot different. It's going to be a talented roster. And I think you guys are going to have a lot of fun. I'll take some questions here in a minute. First, I'll tell you that we're brought to you by ACS, Automation and Control Systems, LLC. It's based in Baldwin, Mississippi. It's a complete electrical control system solution provider. It's a Rockwell Automation recognized system integrator. They've got a full-time dedicated emergency service and troubleshooting staff, a UL508A panel shop. You can learn more at acsllcms.com or call 662-601-4381. Brought to you by Lamons Fine Jewelry, Lamons 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. It's been serving the Oxford area for 3/4 of a century. Whatever you're looking for in jewelry, engagement rings, wedding rings, watches, pearls, fashion jewelry, they've got that and more. LamonsFineJewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. We're brought to you by Pinnacle. They're based in Jackson, Mississippi, but they've got clients in more than 20 states, advisors in multiple states. Pinnacle provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much, much more. It's mypinwealth.com, mypinnwealth.com. Brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you're thinking about a summer trip, maybe a holiday trip, maybe you're already looking ahead to some big trip a year or so from now, get in touch with John. Just give him some parameters, give him a budget, and then sit back and do nothing. He'll come up with options that will help make a special trip one that creates a lifetime of unique memories. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. Also brought to you by OPA. OPA on the Square. It's a perfect place for you to plan your next night out. When you're in Oxford, fabulous food, great craft libations as well. It's Oxford's newest Greek restaurant on the Square. Get in touch with the people at OPA. If you're looking for a place to watch the NCAA tournament, don't forget about Rafters on the Square as well. Stop by. They've got all the big TVs throughout, great food, great drink options as well. So check out Rafters on the Square if you're hanging out on the Square. I've got a mailbag up at rebelgrove.com. It's brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. Whitney sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. You can reach her at 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. Austin says, speaking of, does Aaron Rodgers and the Jets make the Jets a playoff team? Yeah, I think he makes them a playoff team. They lost a handful of games last year, really close. If you added 4 points a game, I've listened to so much national talk radio, as I just mentioned, 4 points a game to their schedule last year, they're a 12-5 team, which would have put them squarely in the playoffs as a legitimate threat. I mean, I don't know that it makes them the favorite in the East. The Bills still have a really talented team. They still have Josh Allen. But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, with that young defense that they have, Aaron Rodgers makes them a threat. Pocket Watch says, what are Beard's contract terms? I don't know. What keeps him at Ole Miss instead of bouncing after a year or two? I mean, look, you have to make him happy. You've got to support him. You got to give him NIL. You got to make him feel like, hey, he's on equal footing with the people that he competes against in a league that, as Rick Barnes said, and Rick Barnes is exactly right, this league is brutal right now. I mean, I was watching on Thursday night, Ole Miss finished with Tennessee, and I got done a little bit, and I'd finished my writing. I went out and sat with Kirk Sampson, the Auburn SID, for a minute. We were just catching up on life, families and stuff. We're both big Cubs fans. We're talking about the Cubs. And so I watched the most of the first half of Arkansas and Auburn courtside talking to Kirk. And you look out on that court, two teams that are both in the tournament, two teams that both have a lot of talented players, two teams that have very talented coaches, Bruce Pearl, Eric Musselman. And that's the 7 versus the 10? It's a tough league. So you got to compete. You got to give coaches resources. You got to make sure that they have the ability to put a roster together that can compete in that league. So that you got to make him happy. Look, there's a couple of jobs that are out there potentially down the road that if I were Ole Miss, I'd worry about. I'm not going to get into those. It's not worth it. But for him to get a blue blood job, a Kentucky, a North Carolina, a UCLA, one of those kind of gigs, he's going to have to win really big at Ole Miss. Really big for a sustained period of time. So that one of those schools can say, hey, we're not gonna worry about all the stuff in his past. This we're gonna hire him now. Chris Beard's 50, turned 50 last month. I don't think you have to worry about him leaving anytime soon. And for him to leave, he has to win, which is something you haven't done. So can't think that way, in my opinion. Was the other question, are Chris and Randy still together? I don't know. I think so, but I don't know. He wasn't asked that question. The only awkward thing about yesterday is that some of the questions that got asked, and look, they had to be asked. I'm not at all criticizing the reporters who asked them. What bothered me a little bit about it was his daughters were in the room. They were in the room, but it comes with the territory. Yeah, I mean, he's a public figure, and you know, you knew those questions were going to get asked, and they got asked. Austin asked again, does the Pac-12 have a TV deal yet? Not that I've heard. Someone said something in the stream about an emergency meeting. I haven't been able to keep up with that. I've been playing catch up today. Hardman says, thoughts on Canada starting a 19-year-old against Team USA? Do I think I could get more than one out? No, I don't think I could get an out against a Team USA lineup. I have not gotten into the World Baseball Classic at all. I just haven't had an opportunity. I'm sure it's a fun event. I haven't watched a single pitch. I've been really tied up with this and then traveling, and I feel like I'm just way behind right now. I saw 2 Pelicans games. By the way, those were fun. Kudos to New Orleans. That's a fun event. Mitchell says, how will Ole Miss basketball NIL stack up compared to the rest of the SEC? Oh, we're about to find out. I think people at Ole Miss had, when I say this, I mean fans. I was in the arena. I went to every game, every home game. I think I might have missed one. The arena was dead. People had given up. It wasn't personal, but they didn't believe that Kermit was going to win. They didn't believe that. They didn't believe that he was recruiting well. They didn't believe that he evaluated well. I don't think they believed that he had a staff that was up to that measured up to other staffs around the league. And I think some NIL dollars that normally may have been there just didn't go there. I have a suspicion based on what I saw yesterday that those people will give to NIL for Chris Beard because they're going to believe that Chris Beard's going to win. Everybody supports winners. Simple as that. I mean, Ole Miss gets a lot of heat for attendance and things. Ole Miss went 8-31 in the last 2 years. 8-31 in the last 2 years against SEC opponents. That includes 3 SEC tournament games. A loss to Missouri, a win over South Carolina, and a loss to Tennessee. 8-31. Look, even at the places around the league that are getting big attendance, that basketball's a priority, Kentucky, Arkansas, Missouri, you go 8-31, your arena's going to be dead. Rupp will be dead at 8-31. People praise Auburn, and they should, for the way that they support that program under Bruce Pearl. But before Bruce Pearl, when Auburn sucked, they weren't filling that arena up. It was dead. 8-31. Alabama's not packing Coleman if Alabama's going 8-31. If you win, people come. If people feel like you're competitive, that you have a chance to win, they're going to come to games. The last 2 years, Ole Miss lost to Samford in December. Ole Miss lost to North Alabama in December. Fans aren't idiots. They know when that happens, this isn't going to be a good team. This isn't going to be an NCAA tournament team. You could put out all the press releases in the world. When people look at a team on the floor and you see that team, and I saw it in November, I thought they're mediocre at best. And if I can see that, fans can see that too. And I know I look at it objectively and fans look at it through a fan prism, but after a while, losses pile up. And when people say, well, you know, a bucket here and a bucket there, and I always kind of hated it when Kermit did that because I'm like, man, you could do that. Any coach could do that. That's true. Yeah, you change 5-6 plays in a game and you win. Oh, give 3 points. But every other program can do that too. That's not how it works. Tony says, should the Pelicans cut Zion? I sure would not extend him. All right, so I was in New Orleans Saturday and Sunday. Zion did not play. He was on the bench. I noticed him. We were sitting behind the Thunder bench on Saturday, and so I really didn't pay attention to the Pelicans because we were talking about, my son and I were talking about the Thunder. On Sunday, we sat where we could watch the Pelicans bench, and Zion was there. He looks big. Not just muscle big, but big, big. He looks fat, frankly. He's hurt, out for an indefinite amount of time. The problem with cutting Zion is if you don't extend him, you don't give him a max deal, whatever, you run the risk of really looking stupid if he goes someplace else and becomes the superstar that he is when he's on the floor healthy. But tough spot. It's hard to get players like that. Probably aren't coming to New Orleans as a free agent destination. When you get a guy like that, you have to give him every opportunity in the world, but you've got to worry about it. I would not cut him. Austin, McCready and Siski at 11, so here in just a little bit. I'm about to wrap this up here in a second. Is Bama getting a new arena? Yeah, I think they're building a new one. I don't know if it's going to be for next year, but they're going to build one quickly. You know, I mean, they've got Nate Oates now for a long time. They're completely in on that. Brought to you by Service Specialist Staffing and Recruiting Agency, connecting great job opportunities to candidates since 1967. If you're on the job hunt, they can help you. If your company is looking to hire quality, hard-to-find talent, Service Specialist can help as well. Payment of service solely contingent on if you decide to hire a candidate that they send. So give Will, Sydney, or Kelsey a call at 662-832-5138 or check out their new and improved website, servicespecialistltd.com. Don't just accept what you see, but imagine something new. Step forward, chase after a better version of yourself. Every day, Corinth Dental is helping people reinvent themselves one smile at a time. Dr. Bubba McQueen, Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative state-of-the-art procedures, including Invisalign. These clear aligners are the virtually invisible way to improve your smile. So call Corinth Dental today for a no-cost digital scan of your teeth. Let them show you the way to a straighter, healthier smile. 12 months, no interest, no down payment. Financing is available at corinthdental.com. And don't forget, we're brought to you by Southern Traditions Farm. It's a 68-acre, 32-stall upscale equestrian training and boarding facility in Canton, Mississippi. 2 sand rings, a grass ring, miles of wooded trails. There's so much offered at Southern Traditions, including horseback riding offerings from beginner lessons with trainer Susan Walt to buying your first horse and competing at nationally recognized competitions. To learn more, check them out on Facebook or Instagram at Southern Traditions Farm. Last couple, let's see. for an NBA guy, I guess he's talking to me. How legit are the Grizzlies? I think they're legit, but this Ja Morant thing is an issue for them. They're not winning an NBA title without Ja Morant on the floor. And I think he'll be back end of the month. But look, there's some NBA people that think Ja Morant could miss the rest of the year. I mean, he's got to get his head screwed on straight. He's got to start really thinking about what he wants out of his career. He's got to stop trying to be somebody that he's not. That's a problem for him. It's a problem for Memphis. He's the face of their franchise. He's one of the most exciting players in the game. But the West is loaded. It's only getting more loaded. I mean, you look around the league, around that conference, it's only going to get tougher. Denver's very, very good. The Lakers are always going to be a threat. The Clippers are good. The Mavericks have Luka. They're always going to be a threat as long as he's there. Even some of the teams at the bottom that are moving up. Like, I watched the Thunder the other night. The Thunder are not far away from being a competitive team. They're a game under 500. They're playing without Chet Holmgren right now. They actually have worked their way almost out of the lottery. They have so many draft assets. They're going to be a good team. It's inevitable. Memphis can be special. Memphis can do a lot of things, but to do it, they've got to get job straight, period. Bill, any idea if any current players have recommitted? Is Wynn Case sticking around? I've heard some rumblings. I think it was a good sign for Ole Miss that Matt Morrell was at the press conference yesterday. At the announcement, I should say. Jamin Brakefield was there. Deshaun Ruffin was there. I'd be surprised if all of those guys are still around next season, frankly. But who knows? Chris Beard was very transparent about it. He said he's talking to all of those guys and that they've all been very receptive. They've had good conversations. Some of the guys weren't there yesterday just because it's spring break. There was no reason for them to be there, which was, again, significant that Matt and Jamin and Deshaun were there because they didn't have to be in Oxford yesterday. They came on their own time. Wynn Case was there. Wynn Case is a first-class human being. He is a phenomenal person, a great guy. I'd be surprised if Wynn Case was an on-the-floor assistant coach with Chris Beard. If you told me that Ole Miss found a way for him to stay in the program, sure, I could see that. I have not specifically heard that. There are some rumors that those conversations are going to happen. Chris Beard said yesterday that he's going to talk to some of Kermit's guys that are in town have been a part of that staff. And so, sure, I could see that. You know, the staffs are about to extend by two in July. Chris Beard is known for building strong staffs. That's a big part of his success. He'll tell you that. He kind of did say that yesterday. I could see an effort to keep Wynn Case around because of how popular he is with the current players and things of that nature. But look, it's Chris Beard's program, and the last 2 years were not good, and you can't make sentimental decisions if you're Chris Beard. Every spot's got to be maximized, and if he thinks Wynn Case helps, he'll keep him. If he doesn't, he won't. It's that simple. But they've got time because, again, obviously the NCAA tournament is getting rolling. The play-in games last night, you have a couple play-in games tonight, and then it gets rolling tomorrow. And so you're going to have – it's going to be down to 16 teams by Sunday night. It's going to be down to four teams by next Sunday night. Do the math. There's going to be a lot of assistants that are busy right now coaching in tournament games who are going to lose games. And once those losses come, you're going to be able to talk to those coaches. There's going to be a lot of players that are playing over the next 2 weeks that are going to play in games where their teams lose. And then they're going to get into the transfer portal to explore their options, and you'll be able to talk to those guys at that point. So there's no major rush. Like, it's not He's not going to finalize a roster and finalize a coaching staff here in the next 2 days. There's no reason to. Got time. So he'll take that time. He's really good at this. He's an elite coach. He's a coach that if he doesn't have baggage, Ole Miss never has any chance at all to get. He completely changes the profile of the Ole Miss program. You go from being an irrelevant program to being a program that people will talk about. All right, last one. How did Beard and Kermit know each other? Just coaches. You guys don't understand how much college basketball coaches gossip. They all know each other. I don't think they're ever part of each other's staffs. I don't think they've ever worked together. But people in college basketball circles, they really respect Kermit Davis. Should tell you that. There's a lot of people that think some of the outside of the line stuff may have passed Kermit by. And maybe that's fair. I don't know. But the inside the line stuff hasn't. He's still a very, very good coach. He didn't have a talented enough roster. They made evaluation mistakes. I don't know that the way that he coaches using the bench as a punishment is the best way to do it anymore. But Kermit's a really good coach. And all you have to do is talk to other coaches about how good of a coach he is. When Rick Barnes tells you that, when Eric Musselman tells you that, when Bruce Pearl leads with that, I talked to Andy Kennedy not that long ago, and Andy will tell you Kermit's a hell of a ball coach. So it was about players. It's a players' league. This is a players' league. The SEC is a players' league. You win with players. You can over-recruit, which is something I think Musselman has done at Arkansas this year. Too many really good young players, and they just never mature enough to win at this level against tough teams like Texas A&M. But make no mistake, Texas A&M has talented players. That's why they're in the tournament. That's why they're good. It's a players' league. Chris Beard's got to get players. He will. He'll get players. It will be fun to watch. We'll have more time to talk about it. I have McCready and Siski here in about 40 minutes or so. So I'm going to wrap up here so that I can get ready to turn that around. And thanks to all of you guys for putting up with me in the stream. I have no idea whether this was even listenable or not, but did it for a while. Thanks for being with us. If you're enjoying spring break, have a great one. Enjoy the tournament. Ole Miss and Vanderbilt baseball tomorrow in Nashville. I think it's a Thursday through Saturday series. I don't know what's planned for coverage for that. I know neither one of us are going to be there. I'll be tied up tomorrow. My daughter Caroline's having shoulder surgery. I don't know what time that's going to be. She's coming home today so that she can have the surgery tomorrow. So I anticipate being out of pocket tomorrow. I might try to do something on Friday. I'll let you guys know. But for now, that does it. I talked about doing a show on tonight. It's not possible. So let's let this show go for today, and then we'll, Tyler and I'll do a show. I'm going to do a bracket live because I've yet to look at a bracket. I'm the only person in America who has not done a bracket yet. But we'll do a bracket, and y'all can make fun of me, and we'll see how bad my bracket will be. I just noticed that I have the date wrong on the podcast. I'm super prepared. That says so much about just it was ridiculous. Anyway, thanks for being with me, and enjoyed it. And thanks to everybody for participating in the stream. Talk to you again soon.